Attention! Do you owe back taxes, fines, and penalties to the IRS? The IRS now offers new relief options for taxpayers affected by COVID-19, but you can't go it alone. Call Tax Solutions now. Our team of former IRS agents and tax professionals can get you the best deal. We know the COVID-19 rules. Call us and never speak to the IRS again.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited. I called Tax Solutions now and a great big weight was lifted off my shoulders.
I called Tax Solutions now and they got the IRS off my back.
Tax Solutions now had my wage garnishment lifted in 48 hours.
The virus has caused the IRS to take extensive action to help taxpayers. So if you owe $10,000 or more, this is the best time in years to settle your tax debt.
I qualified for the Fresh Start program. I paid less than I owed.
Remember, the IRS will not give up until you pay. Call 800-683-9499. 800-683-9499. 800-683-9499.
Into Tomorrow continues. I'm Dave Graveline. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks especially for joining in on the program because your participation really makes the show. Your involvement, your help for other listeners, your questions about anything involving tech in our 27 years bringing you the latest in consumer tech. We've always appreciated your involvement, so please don't hesitate. You can even share some tech rage, if you will. Don't worry, we've got the bleep button handy, and we'll be happy to share your tech rage on the air as well. So either 800-899-INTO, anytime 24/7, the free Into Tomorrow app, hit the message to studio button, or you can use the Ask Dave microphone. That's on any browser, on any device with a mic and a browser at intotomorrow.com. A new report has revealed that we as consumers are paying the price for costlier and higher impact data breaches. Here to talk about these breaches and how they've led to those higher costs is the principal consultant for cyber crisis management with IBM Security, Limor Kesem. Limor, welcome into tomorrow. How are you?
I'm good, Dave. How are you?
I'm fine. And unfortunately, all of us as consumers aren't doing so well when we're having to deal with these various data breaches. And a lot of times, I guess, we tend to think, oh, another company had a data breach. Fortunately, it's not affecting me. But that's not the case, is it?
No, that is not the case. So an annual report by IBM Security called The Cost of a Data Breach talks to companies that were hit by a cyber attack, finding out what they paid at the end of the day for the attack and for different parts of what happened. We're seeing that the cost for attacks is the highest it's ever been, $4.35 million on average globally.
Wow.
That's 13% higher than in the past 2 years. So the pandemic years, really, we're seeing a very sharp rise. And who is paying for this is the consumers. They're paying the price for these all-time high breach costs because companies have no choice but to start rolling over, passing some of the cost of the breach to the consumer. Maybe it's another part of the supply chain, like a vendor they work with, or it's a direct pass to the consumer. And we've seen, you know, the pipeline attack last year that was very direct, of gas prices jumping up very quickly, 10%. Mm-hmm. A meat supplier, also 10% increase in direct cost to the consumer. And this is just a tip of an iceberg, because when a certain supply chain is hit, you know, some companies are impacted one after the other. All of them increase prices and roll over the cost to the consumer. So 60% of the companies we talked to admitted that they had to do that. 83% of them said that they had more than one breach thus far.
Oh, my gosh. And of course, people talk in terms of, well, why don't they just pay a ransom? Well, it doesn't pay to pay, does it not?
It does not pay to pay either way.
Wow. So that's one thing where we as consumers might sit back and say, well, how is this happening? I mean, how is it that companies are they either not prepared for breaches and for attacks, whether they get my personal info or not? Or is it a whole lot more complicated than that?
It is a little more complicated indeed. There are many ways for attackers to get through a secured company, whether it's poorly secured or a little better. There are many vulnerabilities companies and software and different platforms. They come up with ingenious ways to get through to companies and to inflict a lot of damage. With the report, we're seeing also persistence of an attack called a ransomware attack, like you were talking about a ransom, and also destructive attacks, in which case, you know, you can't pay to get the data back. They're just destroying it or rendering all the devices inoperable. So all the computers or whatever else they can is no longer operable because they destroyed a certain part of it that they cannot reboot it back up.
Oh my God.
We're seeing a third of all attacks last year that were ransomware and destructive attacks. Specifically, these two types of attacks are the costliest to recover from, and they also take a longer time to recover from. And the longer an attack continues, the more costly it's going to be at the end of the day. Wow. And unfortunately, it's not just about paying the ransom.
Yeah, for sure. And Limor, so many factors appear to be contributing to these costs and, of course, the impact of cyber attacks.
That's true. The impact of cyber attack is really coming down to, you know, the consumers that are feeling the brunt of these attacks at the end of the day. Companies are seeing supply chain costs that are the highest they've been in 40 years now. So that's a big stretch. They're already struggling ever since COVID and the war in Ukraine that's been causing supply chain shortages and higher costs. And then the cyber attack comes along. I mean, just very recently, a big health provider in the United States had to go ahead and post losses of $100 million to their second quarter earnings. This is a huge deal. It's not, you know, money that you can just absorb. At the end of the day, the customers of those companies that have been breached end up paying more for the same services.
And what about organizations that work hard at maybe fully deploying automation? Are they ultimately incurring less? Are they covered a whole lot more? I mean, I guess there's no such thing as, you know, perfect security. It doesn't exist, just like privacy doesn't exist anymore either. But those companies that are making those efforts, are they seeing an appropriate impact?
They're absolutely seeing a lot of benefits. So the report finds that companies that deploy automation are seeing very, you know, reduced cyber attack costs if they ever go through a breach. They can recover significantly faster. In costs, you know, they would pay about $3 million per breach and compare less than those that don't deploy it. They're also seeing cost savings in terms of if they have an incident response team and they have a plan that they drill, right? If you're prepared, if you have a fire drill, let's say you have the plan, but you never drill it. When a fire happens, everybody's running like a chicken with their heads off, right?
Yeah.
But if they're prepared and they've drilled it a few times, they know exactly what to do. They've developed a certain muscle memory of what to do first. Then they are a lot better prepared to deal with this crisis. And so companies that have that in place are doing a lot better in terms of both containing the problem, kicking off the attackers off their networks, and then bringing stuff back online sooner and more easily. So they're definitely seeing the benefit of it.
And Limor, we hear so much these days about AI and how that plays a role in many businesses and in many things. Does AI help in any way to play a role for security?
AI is a major thing in security nowadays because it helps organizations augment the staff they already have. So there's a major skills shortage in cybersecurity. There aren't enough skilled people to go around. A lot of them, yes, they work in big tech companies, but that small utility company or water utility or, you know, a public sector company that doesn't have the budget or the ability to hire a lot of security staff, they need that automation and AI. They need the help of augmenting their staff. And that the AI can come in terms of, you know, making certain analysis faster or very mundane tasks or repetitive things that people would typically do. Just make the machine do it. You don't, and then the people are free to make the more important decisions or act on things that they need to escalate. And they're more free to actually work on stuff that human beings have to do and not a machine. So AI is invaluable in terms of cybersecurity.
Good. And to your point about making sure you run drills, it seems like AI would certainly help in that scenario as well.
Actually, for the drills, what you want to do is build a plan, a very robust plan on the technical level that's going to take the response and the responders from recovering all the services, from cleaning everything, making sure it can come back online and there's no more traces of attackers or backdoors on the network. And then take it all the way through to the executive response, because when you think about ransomware, you know, one of the first people that has to know about it is the CEO. The CEO doesn't get involved in other things and outages and all those other things that the technical team deals with, right? Mm-hmm. But now that they're being asked for $20 million, whoa, somebody has to come and think about, okay, what do we do now? We have to really look at all the information, and the executives have to also have their plan. If a board member gets a phone call, hey, what's going on there? What happened there? Or they need to answer to a regulator, or they have police coming in and asking questions. They need to be able to have the executive team also be prepared and have a plan in place.
Of course, absolutely. And of course, IBM Security, no doubt, provides enterprise cybersecurity solutions to help them thrive, especially in the face of all this uncertainty that we talk about. And whether it's the CEO who says, yeah, we got to get them involved, let's make sure we're doing the right thing here and protecting our business for our customers and for our employees. So how can businesses better prepare themselves for the very likelihood of cyber attacks?
So businesses can shift their focus to detection and response. They want to detect things faster because attackers have gotten faster. Their window of opportunity is as long as just a few hours. So they want to detect things faster when they happen. And this is where automation can help, or concepts like zero trust can help. And then they want to also be prepared, because there is only so much prevention that can be done. Attackers that are intent on coming in, and they're called a persistent threat, might end up succeeding one way or another. And you want to know what you're going to do when that happens. And, you know, whether it's a small problem that can be handled, it should have a proper plan, or maybe it's an entire whole of business crisis. That's even more a time where you should be prepared with a plan that is drilled, that a plan that has all the possible components that can happen. And that is definitely helpful to organizations.
And I certainly hope folks are listening to your very good advice, because transforming how clients manage risk with attack and surface management, it's so important. We invite our audience to visit ibm.com/security. Limor Kesem, Principal Consultant, Cyber Crisis Management with IBM Security. I can see why we had you on the show. You have a wealth of information. Your report is tremendous and will certainly help a lot of companies.
Thank you, Dave.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Thank you for joining us again, Limor Kesem with IBM.com/security. I'm Dave Graveline. Stay tuned. We bring you further into tomorrow right here on the Advanced Media Network.